Think Realty Nation. It's your host, Avi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Today, I'm excited because it's not often where somebody I reference in the closing segments of the Think Realty Podcast comes on the show. And we have such an opportunity today. Andrew Sirios is here with us. We'll be talking about due diligence for single-family homes, due diligence for multifamily, the general kind of code of investing in real estate, and then, of course, what he's up to on YouTube. So there's a lot to talk about here for you new and pro real estate investors to just double-check to make sure you're doing the right thing. Before we bring him on, I want to give a huge shout-out to the sponsor of today's podcast, RealtyTrack, the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data with unlimited saved searches and no need to pay per record fees. Check them out. Go to realtytrack.com today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Awesome, man. So like I said, I've been raving about your articles on thinkrealty.com and huge fan of yours. Let's get started,
Appreciate
man. Give me a little background. Who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, so I've been investing in real estate since I graduated from college in 2006. Actually, a little bit before that. My dad has been a real estate investor. He started buying properties around the University of Oregon. Campus Rentals is a great submarket, great niche to get into. But that had kind of been built, gone through. There weren't many deals left. So by the time I started, we came on, we were flipping houses. We did that for a while. It worked. And then it stopped working, especially after the crash. And eventually we wanted to get back into it. I live out, our grandparents and uncles and aunts are all from the Midwest. My parents used to live here. So kind of came back to Kansas City, better cash flow market. My brother joined me a little bit later. We've been buying and holding and managing our stuff ever since. Mostly single families, but also some multis as well.
What would you say is the number one rule that you've followed? Maybe like a guiding light principle when starting your journey as a real estate investor?
I think the biggest thing is if you buy right and you have built-in equity up front, it's very hard to lose. If you're buying with no margin, if you're speculating, the way I kind of define it is no or little cash flow, and you're just kind of hoping for appreciation, even if it's well thought out, you don't have a lot of margin. If the market goes down, you could be caught underwater. I think buying right, making sure you have built-in equity up front, making sure you don't miss something that's like a sewer line that's collapsed or something that's going to just ruin your equity margin up front, is really the number one rule. If you can do that, you have a lot of leeway, a lot of flexibility with what you want to do. And even if things go wrong, you can always sell the house and still make a profit on it.
So in a world or a market where it's tough to find deals, as you know, how does one still maintain this relationship with built-in equity during their search?
Well, I think one of the big, like, the market is kind of crazy right now. It's one of the, I think it checked in Jackson County where I'm at, and there's 0.6 months of inventory. 6 months is a balanced market. So it's 1/10 of a balanced market. I think the biggest thing is not to be a motivated buyer. There are still deals out there. You might have to work a little bit harder, maybe do some direct marketing or just kind of sift through a lot more potential properties. The big thing is, like, don't sit on the sideline. I definitely against sitting on the sideline. Time in the market beats timing the market 9 times out of 10. But at the same time, if you're actively looking for a deal and don't find one over the course of 2 or 3 months, in this market, I wouldn't be particularly concerned about that. The main thing is not to be a motivated buyer. And you also might have to be a bit more aggressive, maybe, doing some more direct marketing or maybe even, SEO type marketing, although that takes a little bit longer to set up. But the big thing is don't be desperate to buy, and especially in a market where, it's crazy. This won't last forever. So, I mean, it is one of those things. You don't want to just get whatever you can now, and then when it cools off or even corrects, then kind of be caught with that underwater.
So let's say you go down the line, you do the marketing, and you find a deal that makes sense. What is your due diligence protocol? What are the first 4, 5, or 6 things that you look at that tell you this deal is good or this deal is bad?
Yeah, I break it up into a couple stages. The first one is before you make the offer. So you should analyze the area. You should analyze do a quick rehab estimate. You should do a quick financial estimate and valuation estimate. So look at the comps. Make sure it will rent well if you plan on being a landlord and holding it. And then once you get it under contract, the post acceptance stage, I think you need to look at it with a fine tooth comb. And you need to, and I split this kind of into your physical due diligence, which a detailed walkthrough. I try to put up every single item that needs to, and kind of build your scope of work, and then bid it out, budget it again, and make sure that it's in line with your original budget. If you can get a contractor, if you're newer, get a contractor to walk through it with you. At least maybe another, buy another more seasoned investor or a real estate agent who's good at investment properties. Buy them lunch and have them walk through it. Get a second set of eyes on it. Go through the financials again. Make sure if they're rented units, you're going to want to make sure you're going to check the leases. You're going to want to check, make sure the rent roll. I always like to get proof of deposit. This is a big one. I think we've had cases. We had one we bought a while back where, they just threw people in and at high rents, but then they didn't pay. And so we once we took it over, we realized these people weren't paying, but also the property wouldn't rent for that. So I like to get either bank statements or deposit slips, or if they've used Cozy or a site like that, they can send you that very easily. I would do legal due diligence. You check with the city, make sure there's no outstanding permit violations, or it's not on dangerous buildings list, or that it's zoned correctly. If it's a converted house into multifamily and it's on a single family zoning, that could be a problem. Also, always close with a title agency or an attorney. Never close outside of title. And then, especially as a new investor, but I think generally speaking, for most, get third-party inspections. You're definitely going to want a third-party inspection, and then you might want to get a pest and dry rot if there's any signs of that or things like that. So once you do all that, that should tell you whether you're basically trying to confirm what you originally thought. Did what you originally thought was true, yes or no? And if it's not, then you might need a retrade or ask for a discount or just walk away. And I think the big thing there is just to understand that, you're not wed to this property. You're not wed to this deal. People have this mindset where they want to be consistent. Oh, I thought this was a good deal. I said I was going to buy it. I need to follow through. Well, if your assumptions, and your research up front, which didn't pan out, you found new things during the due diligence, you need to, actively change basically sit down. I like to think of it as like sit down and rebuy the property or re-get the, do I still want to buy this property? Trying to think of it as completely clean slate, not with the mindset that I have it under contract and I need to close it. Like, is it still a good deal? Or do I need to ask for a discount or just walk on this one?
Do you follow, when looking at single family rentals to acquire, or when acquiring property that you will turn into a single family rental or do a rehab to rent type of thing, is there a general guidance that you follow for the rental amount that you charge? A lot of people talk about the 2% rule. A lot of people talk about the 1% rule. Do you have a rule of thumb for that?
I think the 2% rule I very much don't like. I think it's basically impossible to get now. If you do try to get it, it's going to push you into the worst areas. And rent prices don't go up, in a linear fashion with the cost of the property. And so if you're in, a roof on a $30,000 house costs the same as a roof on a $300,000 house, at least, square foot for square foot. And while the price, on various items does get more expensive as you get into more expensive properties, it doesn't go up in a linear fashion. And so it's not even like the 2% rule pushes people into very, very rough areas, which only specialists should be looking at. Even the 1% rule can do that. I think the 1% rule is much better, but I think generally rent to costs are best at analyzing properties rental basically in similar areas. So if this property is in the $150,000 ballpark and it has a 0.8% rent to cost, and this property in a different area has $150,000 cost and it's more like a 1.1%, it makes more sense to go for the latter than the former. I would always kind of also run the approximate expenses. If you're thinking, put your taxes, insurance, estimate your turnover cost and maintenance and what your rent is, you know, comp the rent on sites like Trulia, Zillow, or Rentometer is a little not working.
I noticed the other. I've been noticing. Yeah. It's like the values are just a little wonky.
It's a little off. Rent range is good. The rent range is good. It'll cost a little bit of money, but rent range is good.
Yeah.
So comp the rents, run it through. I think if you're going for 1%, you'll usually be okay. But even then, the best time to use the rent to cost ratio is comparing like to like.
Yeah.
You know, neighborhoods that have similar value. The 2% rule, I think it's really bad and pushes people to invest in areas that they shouldn't invest in unless they're specialists.
Totally agree. Dude, we're almost at time. Let's talk about your YouTube channel. I watched the lumber video. I thought that was really good.
And
you're getting a lot of traction there, which congratulations. It's really hard to do on YouTube. As a fellow new YouTube creator, I cleared my account, started over, and it sucks.
Yes, it does.
It's a lot of work. But congrats to you.
Thank you.
Us a little, how do we find you on YouTube? What's the best way to stay in touch, get in touch?
Yeah, the best way is The Sirius Brothers, just S-Y-R-I-O-S Brothers. My brother Philip and I put about a video a week. And then also I write regularly for Think Realty, and I do have a blog. I don't put a lot on it, but andrewsirius.com. But the main way would be that YouTube channel, The Sirius Brothers.
That's a really good brand name, by the way. I wish I could do something like that. Like, I don't know. I still can't.
The only issue is people need to know how to spell Sirius.
Yes. Yeah, no, totally fair, man. Dude, congratulations on all the success. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll have you back to talk about more due diligence on maybe multifamilies and commercial side. Later in the year for sure. So, Andrew, thanks a lot, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. The next segment is brought to you by RCN Capital, a national direct private lender that provides commercial loans for the purchase or refinance of non-owner-occupied residential and commercial properties. The company specializes in ground-up new construction financing, short-term fix and flip, long-term rental financing for real estate investors. Check them out. Go to rcncapital.com. So Joe Fairless, host of an amazing podcast, of course, as you know, wrote an article for thinkrealty.com titled $5 billion plan for your apartment syndication business. Now, as you know, he also himself is a very big player in the multifamily space. A couple of rules that he follows. Number one, protect yourself from the biggest liability you're currently not paying enough attention to. He talks about compliance. Quote, for 99% of syndicators, the biggest liability is compliance. Sure, they work with attorneys to create their investment documents and entities, but they'll also ask their attorneys questions as they arise. The problem is the questions that are not asked, which puts you at risk. So I suggest, just like Joe suggests, make sure that you get somebody that is in-house, that is keeping you compliant with all regulations across the board. Number two, bring the best out of your team. It's not enough to have C or B players. You need A plus players every single time. If you have a C player, a B plus player, a B player, figure out ways you can turn them into an A or A plus player, especially when dealing with a lot of investors, a lot of assets under management, a lot of people, tenants, property managers. A lot of that stuff matters, and you can't do it all yourself. Build a team, bring out the best. Number three, enjoy better deal flow, deliver better and more stable returns, and create more sanity. Here's what Joe says, quote, most syndicators start off raising money for individual deals. There are a few drawbacks when it comes to scaling a business by raising money one deal at a time. First, it limits your deal flow because you're usually hyper-focused on a unique asset class in a second market. And second, it's riskier for passive investors because their entire investment is used to fund a single opportunity. So if you had a fund, for example, and not just raising for a specific deal, if you had a fund, you could raise for, that's right, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deals. And what happens to the risk? It's spread across all of those different acquisitions and investments. So something else to keep in mind. I highly recommend you check out this article titled The $5 Billion Plan for Your Apartment Syndication Business. Joe's a good friend of mine. I need to have him on the show for sure. So Joe, if you're watching, we're going to have you back. Think Realty Nation, that's the show today. Definitely got to check out the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo in Baltimore coming up September 18th and 19th. Set your sights on making 2021 a success with more knowledge and more know-how by learning and networking with top-tier real estate investing pros. For right now, get a buy one, get one deal on both live and virtual tickets. You register for two tickets, type in the code podcast, you get the price of one ticket, which is kind of cool. So it's a BOGO, buy one, get one deal. And you can do that by visiting thinkrealty.com/Baltimore. I give a huge shout out to the sponsor of today's podcast, RealtyTrack, the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data with unlimited saved searches and no need to pay per record fees. Check them out. Go to RealtyTrack.com today. You have any questions? You know where to find me, anywhere online at Abhi Golhar. Until next time, Think Realty Nation, happy investing.